Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the fourth season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoop Show here on your WNIN 88.3 and live streaming on WNIN.org. Give us a call tonight at 812-426-7400 or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me again tonight as the voice for the Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
Evan, Jim, good to see you. Great to be here. As I said earlier, it's George Michael night at the studio, and people are like, what does that mean? Well, to IU
what
fans,
does that mean?
Yeah, we just got to keep the faith, right? That was his song in the 80s. Am I thinking of that right?
Yeah, that was the 80s.
We have a lot of...
I think some of our listeners don't even know who George Michael is, though. That's the problem.
That's true.
Some of the younger
might
people.
Might have to check that out, especially IU fans. They need to keep the faith because we got a lot of mad people right now, well, and we need to believe.
We have some, too, in the Big Blue Nation.
That's true.
We do.
Both of us, yeah.
So you said Jim. So we have Jim Godsey here tonight from German American Bank filling in for intern Walker Beck, who is participating in the Castle High School homecoming court
tonight. I saw a picture. He's looking sharp.
He is looking sharp. Walker, shout out to you. Hope you do well. Break a leg out there tonight. It is unusual to have homecoming on a Thursday, right?
That is. Usually it's a weekend.
I think they're playing your modern day squad tonight.
No kidding.
Do anybody know that? I don't know. But
actually, I thought Castle was playing Bossy tonight.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
It is.
But I did see a modern day bus in the parking lot when I passed coming down to tonight's show.
Gotcha.
So, folks, it's been a cardiac comeback week for the Kentucky Wildcats. Somehow we squeezed out two wins.
Yeah, you did.
I think it could have easily been two big L's.
Yeah, I told you. You can thank me for that Vanderbilt win because that win over Vanderbilt, because I was watching the State of the Union address and saw on Twitter then that Vandy was beating Kentucky, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to tune in and watch this happen. Well, as soon as I did, your boys made a comeback, so you're welcome, Big
Blue
Nation.
I appreciate that very much, Chad. You're a good supporter of Big Blue Nation, but real quick, we were at West Virginia this past weekend, Saturday night, primetime on ESPN. It was College Game Day in Morgantown. At the West Virginia Coliseum.
That place was rocking.
It was rocking. We were 10-point underdogs, which is the largest underdog spread in the Calipari era. The fact that we won, they're now saying it's the biggest regular season road win for Calipari. Unfortunately, West Virginia had lost a couple games before and then lost again last night, so it's kind of tarnishing this great road win because it was what's called a quadrant one road win, and this is the new system they're using getting into the 64 tournament.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yep.
Right. So it's a quadrant one win for Kentucky, which is huge. People in West Virginia said it was the toughest ticket in the 47-year history of the Coliseum. Again, like you said, Chad, it was rocking.
Did you see the intro that the ESPN guys did with that?
And they came down singing. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
In the flannel shirt.
It was. Yeah. I liked that. Yeah.
But we started out, I mean, we were turning the ball over a lot early. I think we had 10 turnovers for sure in the first half. I think most of those were in the first, like, 10 minutes. I know we had five consecutive turnovers in the first half. But we were actually in Murray, and we got to watch the first 10 minutes in a restaurant. And when I left the restaurant, it was 20-19 in favor of West Virginia. By the time I got to the bank where the Racers play, Kentucky was down 15. I mean, West Virginia was rolling us out of the gym.
That Carter kid was hot in the first
number two,
half. Carter played well.
18 against us in the first half.
Yep.
Like you said, the place was rocking. And, I mean, I told you last week I'd be surprised if we won that game.
Yep.
So at that point I thought, well, it's an L. They got the thing turned around in the second half. And oh, did you see the inbounds play to start the second half, Kentucky's ball?
I did not see that.
5 second call. So we start the second half with a turnover.
No kidding.
So from that point on, though, we only had 3 turnovers the rest of the game against, quote unquote, one of the toughest defenses in
Absolutely.
The country.
Absolutely.
So we were down 17 in the first half. We were down 15 at the half. We got down 17 with 17 minutes to go. This qualifies as the third best comeback in UK history on the road. No, I'm sorry, third best comeback in history of the program, but it being on the road is even more special. This is a surprise for such a young team. Kentucky hit all 18 free throws in the second half. I can't even believe I just said that stat on the air, but 18 for 18.
It's impressive, yeah.
Kevin Knox was a stud, 34 points. He actually, it was his coming out, like his big coming out party.
He looks good. He's playing well. How tall is he?
He's about 6'8".
That's a
good... I call him Durant Jr.
He great analogy. Looks yep. like him out there a little bit. I mean, shoulders, a, yep. I mean, just the way his body
long arms,
yeah.
Good-looking stroke from the outside, but he was attacking the rim a lot in that game in transition.
Yep.
It was the first time I saw a lot of emotion and personality out of Knox during an entire game. I mean, he really impressed me. Jared Vanderbilt, still trying to get back into playing shape. He played 11 minutes, but somehow tallied 11 rebounds against West Virginia.
No kidding.
Only the third time in college basketball history that's happened in the past, I think, 12 years. So, again, he's trying to get back into shape. We had a 1.26 point per possession for the entire game, even at that rough start. So we were on fire after that rough start going to the end of the game.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
We out-rebounded West Virginia by 15. That's the largest rebounding margin against a top 10 team since 1975 for UK. So a lot of historical markers in this game on the road for a young squad. Huge win.
Yeah, I thought you guys would get beat. I really did. I did not think it was going to be a blowout because Calipari gets teams up to play.
Yeah.
But then when you were down 15. I saw that at the half. I'm like, okay, well, more than likely West Virginia will just play even in the second half and cover the line of 10 or whatever. Huge win. That's a shout-out on that.
And back to the comeback. I appreciate it, Chad. It was our largest deficit comeback against the top 10 opponent since 1998. That was Duke in the Elite Eight. We were down 18.
That was the comeback cast, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was
20 years ago,
yeah.
Ironically.
Yeah.
And this team is starting to show a little bit of that comeback. You know, a month ago, or 3 weeks ago, we were giving games away that were up 14 against South Carolina. Now we're getting down and winning, flipping the script.
Yeah.
So, okay, real quick, going into this week's game, we hosted Vanderbilt at Rep Arena. We were favored by, I think, 8 in that game. We had previously beaten Vanderbilt in Nashville like 3 weeks ago. So this is what they call a validation game. After a huge win for a young team, you got to validate it.
Right.
If you don't win, the huge win is out the window.
Right.
Well, Vanderbilt was rolling us, and this is against the worst team in the SEC. Our team came out with a lot of low energy, in my opinion, except for Nick Richards. Everyone else was very flat. Rupp Arena's crowd was extremely weak. I mean, I'm going to call out Big Blue Nation. Rupp Arena's crowd was embarrassing.
Hashtag keep it real.
Keep it real. I'm keeping it real right now.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was good.
I mean, I unfortunately could not go to the game, but some customers of mine were able to use our tickets. But the Rupp crowd was just extremely flat. For the first, I think, 20 to 25 minutes of the game, Kentucky was shooting terribly, 37% from the field, 20% from three, 55% from the line. And we were down 14. We were down 5 with 30 seconds to go. I mean, Vanderbilt had the game in their hand, but all of a sudden we foul their best free throw shooter, Riley LeChance, 90% free throw shooter. So they go to the line up 5. He misses again. He had not missed a free throw since we played him in Nashville.
Unreal.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
So get into overtime, whatever. No, back up. I'm sorry. He misses another guy. Roberson misses a free throw. It led to this crazy scenario where we save the ball. Alexander catches it. He gets fouled, goes to the line with, 2.5 seconds to go?
Yeah.
Nails both of them to tie the game.
No issues. I don't even think they hit the rim. I mean, it was
I mean, that
just,
kid.
Yeah, money.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
It's the first time in school history Kentucky has won consecutive games in which they trailed their opponent by at least 6 points at half. So another historical game. Again, I mentioned Alexander. He scored or assisted on 28 of Kentucky's last 40 points. Now, this is another point about Big Blue Nation that's been complaining about this year's team. Alexander was Kentucky or Calipari's lowest-ranked recruit in this class, and he is now on a first-round draft board because he's playing
yeah.
so well. So, I mean, we're doing something right with player development, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But somehow I still don't know how we won, Chad, but they figured out a way to win in overtime.
So. Oh, and the rule of 71, let's talk about that again. So you gave me an updated statistic on that. I think the audience would like to hear that because that's a crazy one.
We talk about rule 71 often here on Red Blue Hoops. The team that gets a score of 71 wins 96% of the time. The team that
first
gets
one 71.
Yeah, first one to 71. So Kentucky defeated that. So it's one out of 25. That was their one for the season, I guess.
So I always wonder, like I think I said this earlier in the year, is if you're up 68-67 late in the game, do you just play the like, hey, we need to just shoot a three to get to 71 because we're going to win 96% of the time? Yeah,
that's very true.
Interesting.
Tell you what, that's the Kentucky games. Before we go to Indiana, you want to take a caller real quick?
Let's do it. Absolutely.
Who do we have on the line first? Is this Shooter?
Shooter from Hoosiers.
Oh, my gosh. It is.
Well, you guys doing okay tonight?
We're doing great, Shooter. How you doing?
I've been better.
What's wrong, buddy?
Been better. Hey, real quick here, Mr. Beck, I got a question for all these Kentucky fans that are complaining here. How many years have you guys made it to the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8 underneath Coach Cal?
Great question. He's been there 8 seasons. We made 6 Elite 8s.
I mean, that's impressive.
Four
Final Fours. And let me put it in perspective. Since you're a stat guy, Shooter, Coach K, which is considered the greatest modern college basketball coach, right?
Right.
For Duke. The last 16 years, follow this, guys. The last 16 years, Coach K has achieved 12 one- or two seeds in the tournament. Out of those 12, he's only made 4 Elite 8s. Cal Perry has made 6 Elite 8s in 8 years.
That is a pretty incredible
Kentucky
stat.
Fans need to wake up and enjoy what we have to have. Enjoy what we have to watch right now.
Yeah, while it's there, no doubt.
Unfortunately, I agree with you. It's been a rough go for the mid-major that's turned into Juwan Morgan and the boys.
Shooter, you have got to stop helping these guys have ammo against us here, man. Are we on the same team, Chad, or what?
Chad, we're on the same team. Have you watched our team play?
Yes, I have.
We have one person with a high top who's 6'7". We have Josh Newkirk throwing games like he's in a blue chip movie.
Yeah.
So you said keep the faith, Chad. Let's talk about the future.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to call and talk to you.
All right.
Indiana's got 7 games left. I'm looking at the schedule. I have a feeling they're going to go 2-5, with their only 2 wins being at home against Illinois and maybe at home against Minnesota.
We are not going 2-5.
Should we make wager something here tonight?
I don't like wagering against my own Hoosier
fans,
though.
That's true.
That's like a bad deal.
But Shooter, I think, brings it.
After seeing Green play in the second half of the Ohio State game, I just think Newkirk should never leave the bench for the rest of the year. I mean, what's he going to do, transfer?
I would agree with you on that. I think that's a good idea. And actually, to Miller's credit, when Green got hot there, he did not play Newkirk, and he shouldn't.
He shouldn't. And as far as keeping the faith, Chad, I'll buy into you here. I wanted to let you know that next year's recruiting class for Indiana, we have the Hunter kid who's 6'7". He's a 4-star.
Uh-huh.
We have the Anderson kid who's 6'6". He's a 4-star. We have the Tennessee point guard that we desperately need. He's a 4-star who can score. And then underrated is Jake Forrester at 6'8". He's a 3-star. And then Race Thompson.
That's right.
Actually came this year.
Good
and
catch.
Redshirted.
That's right. So
and then if you add Green, Smith, Davis, and Morgan to that, I think you're going to see a little bit better product out on the floor next year.
No question. And that recruiting class is ranked 20th in the country right now. So if you nab Romeo Langford, that probably goes to a top 5, top 10 class just by pure numbers, because it's a lot of players in that class. And then Romeo's a big time stud. So I'm good.
It looks like these kids are athletic. They have length. It looks like they can shoot. So I'm excited for what the future holds. I'm just curious to see, you know, with the upcoming schedule in the Big Ten and the way our teams performed, I have to agree with Evan, unfortunately, that Indiana is a mid-major basketball program.
Stop it. Stop.
Hey, Shooter, let me give you some stats on that. I did some research. I just picked the last 20 years just as a look back. Indiana basketball has a winning percentage of 59%, and this includes 6 coaches: Knight, Davis, Dockich,
Sampson,
Green, and now Miller. So 59% win percentage. You've only been past the Sweet 16 one time in the last 20 years.
I'm well aware, Evan.
All right. Just want to make sure our listeners had all that data out there.
In those 16 years, though, Evan, how many times has Indiana beat Kentucky as a mid-major?
Probably a few.
Tom Crean was 2-2 against Kentucky, so.
You guys had one of the biggest assist wins in our national championship back in 11.
Yeah, you've always said that.
I mean, that absolutely allowed Calipari to get Terrence Jones recentered and focused after the Indiana loss in Bloomington. You guys helped us win a banner that year.
And that's, then
we met you in the tournament. It was a great game, high scoring, but, I mean, it wasn't even the same.
That's when Kentucky, then, though, was scared forever to come back to Bloomington, by the way, though.
We are. We are scared because we almost got killed. I mean, Davis's grandmother almost got beat up, and then you had Darius Miller was trampled, and a former UK cheerleader was run over up in the stands. We can't afford to go back to Bloomington. We don't have enough health insurance.
That was Wayne, our caller.
Maybe Wayne.
And Anthony Davis's mom.
Shooter, we greatly appreciate the call. Thank you, sir.
Hey, no problem. You guys have a good night. Indiana fans, rest assured that, help's on the way. It's just going to be a little while.
I like it. All right, good.
All right.
Thanks, Shooter. You're the man.
All right, wow. Shooter, man, he keeps it lively, doesn't he?
He does. He does.
Chad, cover one game. We got about 50 seconds for a break. You got one game to cover real quick?
Yeah, Purdue, home game. If you remember right, I predicted Indiana would win that game 72-70. And with 5 minutes to go, Indiana was up 63-58. We were heading in that direction. So I was almost Nostradamus. I was close.
We were.
But obviously, Purdue made the plays at the end, 74-67 final. My keys to the victory for Indiana was we had to guard the three, which Purdue was 5-for-18. So we checked the box on that. We had to have big-time Juwan Morgan. He had 24-7. We checked the box on that. We had to have low turnovers. We had 10 turnovers, which is not bad, but we had timely poor turnovers late in the game, so we're not going to check the box on that one. Free throws, 10-for-17. Can't check the box on that one. And we had to hit three-pointers. We were 3-for-16. Can't check the box on that one. So shout-out to Purdue. I don't like to give them credit, but they're a good team. Isaac Haas played well. I think he had 26 points and 5 rebounds and really caused some problems for us because we lack size. But Purdue fans, just remember that Indiana has 25 total national championships at the university, and you guys have 3. So just an FYI.
Wow. Shot across the Purdue bow tonight. Those Boilers would be upset out there in WNIN land.
That's right.
All right. Tell you what, folks, give us a call. Phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet.
At RedBlueHoops.
Our intern stand-in, Jim Gotti, needs some business, don't you, Jim?
He does.
Tweet me.
Tweet Jim Gotti at RedBlueHoops. Folks, we're going to our first break. Be right back. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from German American Bank. German American Bank offers checking accounts to help manage everyday life with mobile banking, mobile bill pay, mobile check deposit, and mobile pay people. Learn more at germanamerican.com.
Welcome back, basketball fans, to Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN 88.3, Evansville, Owensboro, Henderson, live streaming WNIN.org here at Studio 2, the new studios. We got Jim Gotti sitting in as the intern tonight.
Season 4, episode 4?
Yep, 44 tonight.
This is the Allen Henderson episode for all you Hoosier fans out there, number 44.
No, that's not who I think of when I think of 44. He was good. I think of somebody in big blue and white, 44.
Who's
my favorite 44? Like Charles Hurt when I was a kid. They lost in the Elite Eight to Louisville in 83. He was a physical specimen.
Yeah.
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah.
Folks, give us a call. Phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops. Let's get some tweets in here to Jim. He's ready to go.
We do have a caller on the line, but before we go to the call, we're going to follow up on your Ohio State game. You played on the road on Sunday.
We did. I was actually – yeah, home Sunday against Purdue, Tuesday night at Ohio State. That was a 71-56 final. not too much statistics on this. We were playing our fourth game in 8 days, which I have to agree with some of my buddies on this. These kids are 19, 20 years old. How can you be tired? Games is what you live for, right?
Yeah.
So we basically got behind 15 early, and the game pretty much played out. Freddie McSwain, we got Freddied basically. I think I've been on him all year long. And I'm going to actually read a tweet that I tweeted out. I had to even laugh at myself with this. So
self-humor.
Yeah, it is. So I said after the game the other day, I said, I love Archie a lot. He's going to do great things at IU. He will bring Banner 6 and 7. 20 years from now, I will meet him, and after all that time, my question to him will be, why did McSwain get minutes in 2018?
He'll say who? That's what he'll say.
He will
who?
Say that. He will say that. So
there's been some moments McSwain was carrying you guys. I even texted you about it.
He did
against
pull a
Purdue.
Couple shots out of his hat. Yeah, he did. It was interesting. But see, that's scary when the yeah. out of his hat.
Out of his hat. Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
right.
Could have. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. But you guys, when I watch, you know, I watch nearly every Indiana game doing my homework for Red Blue Hoops here. I don't think you watch every Kentucky game.
I don't.
The first half of the Ohio State game, what I saw, Ohio State was extremely efficient offensively.
They were.
I mean, they were just like all their mid-range jumpers, I don't even think they hit the rim. And that Diop guy.
He's a pretty good player.
Pretty,
he's tall, long arms.
Multi-skill set, you know, real diverse player. What's the coach's name from?
Holtman.
Yeah, he's getting an A grade
so far,
isn't he?
From a perspective standpoint, a lot of Indiana fans are comparing Holtman to
Archie
and
so
they're
far.
Like, what is the deal here? But I want people to remember, last year Ohio State was about 16 and 14. They basically had a lot of growing pains last year, and Diop did not play. So he was hurt.
Yep.
So Holtman comes in, new coach, new energy. They had, from those growing pains, those players got better, and then they add a guy that's basically a big, all Big Ten, 20
sure.
and 10. So their setup was a little bit better than Indiana's. They have a ton more talent. I mean, you could see. I thought I actually was impressed with Ohio State. I thought they were pretty good.
Yeah, that first half. I mean, they played even with you guys in the second
they
half.
Did.
Didn't they
did.
But that first half, they were very efficient and precise on offense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I think I'll call it. We're going to catch them later and beat them at Bloomington.
You know, there was a tweet that night about you guys, you know, losing three pro players off an IT squad.
And then I
fired up about
– Yeah, to throw out Kentucky.
Cal Perry, you know, we lost, what, three seniors and, what I say, five freshmen off last year's squad. And here we are. We're, you know, we're top 30 team or whatever. And I got freaking blasted on Twitter for that. So I thought back to, well, if we want to go back to the first season comparison, Cal Perry followed a disastrous Gillespie NIT team. And Cal Perry came in with the number one team in the country, John Wall, Bledsoe, and
Cousins. Which he had his recruiting system.
It's all about
though.
Horses.
It is.
But it's the difference between hiring a mid-major coach with a lesser recruiting base as Archie, and we just had the lucky timing of getting Cal Perry, and he had those horses lined up. Now, he had John Wall pretty much locked up, but he had not chosen Memphis yet. But he was probably going to. The one that he got late was Bledsoe.
Bledsoe
was an absolute stud.
But anyway, it
was funny to see some of the revolt against me on Twitter the other night about that.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to compare. I was just making perspective.
That's right.
Just perspective.
And your stats
hashtag
and facts.
Keep it real,
that's
brother.
That's right. That's right.
So we're done with Ohio State?
We're done with Ohio State. I think
to the phone lines, I think we have a longtime listener, first-time caller, Ace Purple.
Ace Purple. I think I know who this is.
Welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead, Ace.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Red fans, I just have a couple of things. I hear a lot of excuses. It comes down to fundamentals with them. I mean, Illinois, you shoot 55% from the line, 18 turnovers. Purdue, you shoot 58% from the line, 3 for 16 from the three-pointer. And then Ohio State, they shoot 50% from the line. I mean, you can't win Division I games doing that.
You can't. I 100% agree.
Yeah, you're spot on. So what happened? So
in Kentucky, Evan, I just wanted to say huge win against West Virginia. How many were they down?
We were down 17 with 17 minutes to go.
Wow.
And
that Knox is the real deal.
Yeah.
crazy thing about them, though, it's like a coin flip what you're going to get.
Oh.
You know, it's like last night, completely different.
No doubt about it.
Ace, I think it's a coin flip from one five-minute segment to the next five-minute segment with this squad. But, I mean, a really good friend of mine in Rupp 2 weeks ago sat next to a Brooklyn Nets scout, Trajan Langdon, former Duke player, the Alaskan Assassin.
That's right.
And my friend got into a long conversation. He said, hey, what do you see in the Kentucky team this year? Because most everyone in Rupp Arena right now thinks we're a bunch of underachieving, spoiled kids and not a very good team. He goes, no. Team is loaded with talent, raw. He said it's the youngest team in history. You guys got to give them some time. And plus, we've had a lot of injuries. So it's just we're very inconsistent, both in effort, focus. Like the other night, prime example, late against Vanderbilt. 8.5 seconds to go. Vandy's inbound the ball. They inbounds to the Vanderbilt player that we absolutely want to foul.
Toy.
Kevin Knox stands there for 3 seconds, doesn't even foul the kid.
And he passed it, and then he had to foul the 80%.
We fouled Roberson. Yeah. Luckily, he ended up missing, but that's a prime example. He got just a complete bonehead
play. Because
Cal
obviously talked to the team about that because they showed a picture of him. He's like, I think I even read his words.
Yeah.
Didn't we say to foul that guy?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what else do you have for us, Ace?
Oh, well, I just wanted to give an update on the Aces, you know, when you mix red and blue and purple. So.
I like it. Yeah, let's hear it. What you got?
Aces are a little sneaky good this year. They're 15-9. Played at Valpo on the road last week. Got 29 for 31 from the line. It was a home game for Ryan Taylor. He's from Gary.
Okay.
So he had 22 points. Drew Smith had 23 points. They got a win in Valpo. Then they came home and played Drake. Big win at home. They lost in Des Moines on a crazy game. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I kind of do, actually. Yep.
Their plane got frozen over on Friday, so they flew in Saturday.
No
and
kidding.
Went straight from the airport to the game, which is just absurd.
That is tough.
So they literally got off the plane, drove over to the game in Des Moines, played, got their butts handed to them, and then flew back.
Yeah, that's tough. And then I guess they beat Drake. That was the jersey retirement ceremony over the weekend, and then last night got another win, right?
Yep, and then last night they beat USI or UNI with no Drew, no Boo Gibson.
That is
Ryan
incredible.
Taylor, 25 points.
Yeah, I agree. That's incredible.
All right, Ace.
Well, hey, thanks for the call, guys. Pack the Ford next Wednesday against Valpo. They need a win.
I'll be there. Sounds good, dude.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Ace, for calling.
Appreciate it, Ace.
Yep. See you guys.
Hey, to his point about free throws, that same night that IU went 16 of 29 and lost to Illinois by 2 on the road, UE went 29 of 31 on the road and won by 10.
Wow.
So FYI, I mean, it's
amazing.
It is ridiculous.
What's so weird, though, is you guys have been a great shooting team under Crean, and as soon as he leaves, you guys can't hit a shot. It's just bizarre.
It is bizarre.
I still want someone to research who was the assistant under Crean that led that charge, because whoever it was did a really good job with your shooters.
Oh, okay.
I mean, somebody was behind that, obviously.
There's
too much.
It's probably shooter.
Maybe it was shooter.
Yeah.
There's too much data. I mean, they could shoot the ball basically his entire tenure.
They could.
There.
I agree.
Update for our listeners on something we touched on, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago, the potential change in the transfer rule.
Yes.
About opening it up to an open transfer. I think now they're looking at a modified version of that, of talking about an open transfer only after a coach leaves or after an NCAA ban is put down on a university.
Okay.
So they're kind of tweaking a little bit, so there's an update on that. And then we can't go without touching on something that's very concerning, and it's a sad story. It's kind of too much off-the-court stuff, but it's the flagship basketball program of the Big Ten, Michigan
Took
State.
Took a shot there, didn't you?
Well, I mean, Michigan State is the flagship program of the last 20 years.
They can't deny
that.
They are.
And they are, I mean, last Friday, we were in Murray. We got back into the hotel and turned ESPN on, and boom, we turned on right when that Outside the Lines special edition aired. And I was just absolutely blown away by what's happening up in with Michigan State.
Did you see the Outside the Lines reporter on Izzo after the Maryland game?
I did.
Oh, my gosh, how he handled it himself.
Yeah.
He didn't know what to say.
Well, see, Izzo, I mean, I know there's some Michigan State fans in this community and over in Henderson. I know several. They're great people. But, I mean, Izzo was mishandling his comments on the Nassar situation before this other stuff broke.
He was.
I mean, his communication skills in the last 2.5 weeks have been C- at best. But there's so much data behind this case right now with the football team and the basketball program. The president's resigned. The AD was one of the most respected ADs in the nation. I mean, absolutely. He's on the committee, on the tournament committee.
They were talking about him getting promoted to take over something else. And
I mean,
then
he's gone.
He gone.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens to, if anything, Izzo, to the basketball program. The football program has had, I mean, it's just
countless.
Obviously it's part of the culture there. It's sad.
Saw where John Magic tweeted.
Yeah.
He
took a stance against the school.
He sure
saying
did.
If anyone's involved and knew about it, they should be fired.
He did say that.
So, interesting stuff. Going back to the phone lines, I think we have a regular caller back on the line. Wayne, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Well, you know, only thing I got to say is, Devin, you probably want to come back to planet Earth on your stats there, your numbers about Indiana's winning percentage. Let's take out Dan Dockett's 2-6 record and Tom Crean's first 3 years after we get pretty much a death penalty because we have a coach that sends, you know,
hey, Wayne.
Texas.
Wayne.
So if you take those numbers out, okay. Where are we at?
Okay, Wayne, did you play the games? Are the games in the record books? Okay, let's go back in Kentucky. Let's just take our losses off the pages. They didn't count. That doesn't work that way, Wayne.
No,
your last 20 years, you've won 59% of your games.
You got to think about the fact that you look at the schools like, you know, what's happened up at Syracuse, what's happened at UNC, what's happened at Michigan State with all those stuff. I mean, we got pretty much hammered because of Texas. Not saying it's not right, but, you know, if you take those percentages out, I mean, our record's probably not all that bad.
Yeah, maybe.
I think we have better years to come, but, you know, hey, I'm just sitting there saying, you know, look, I mean, yeah, the last 20 years you can throw those numbers out there, but my goodness, I mean, it's just sad that we got hammered the way we did, and, you know, for text messages, and I see all the other stuff that's going wrong in college basketball, and I'm just like, come on, you know, Michigan State should be hammered right now. Why is Izzo still even there? It's incredible.
Okay, yeah, you're preaching to the choir on that.
Okay, Wayne, let's take those four components out that you mentioned. Again, Dockett's was only a segment of 1 year.
So he was.
So let's take those 3 years out. You still have only passed the Sweet 16 one time in 17 years.
Yeah.
You guys are nothing more than a mid-major basketball program.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. Until you get a better coaching staff that can recruit better horses and start winning better games.
We got that now.
You've never won a Big Ten Conference tournament, ever.
That's true.
You're mid-major in the Big Ten. I'm sorry, but it's fact.
Now we've won two Big Ten titles the past 5 years.
Big Ten titles, but never a tournament.
Well,
you're right.
Kentucky loves it, but we'll have better days.
You will.
Right now, I mean, you know, you got your time to, you know, get that, but, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, we're still one of the premier schools basically in the country as far as college basketball.
Kentucky
hates to say it, but this is true.
Now, here's what I'll give you, Wayne. You have one of the premier fan bases in college basketball. You have a legendary place to play basketball because you guys are really good at home. But, no, you are not a premier basketball program right now today. You are not. Sorry.
Statistically or as the brand? The brand is.
Yeah, because of your fans.
We are on UK's level right now, or Duke's, or any of these other Kansas, or all these premier schools, I agree. But I think that basically if you take away after we got pretty much the death penalty for Texas, you got mid. I mean, that was our hammer time.
It did change the course of history with Indiana,
it
no question.
The whole course of where we're at. And, you know, and the thing that's sad about is that you look at what Syracuse has done. I mean, come on, UNC, 19 years of bogus classes.
30 years.
Nothing.
30 years, not 19, 30.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's incredible.
No, I don't disagree. Uh-oh.
You think of where they're at, I mean, come on.
It's ridiculous.
In Michigan State right now, I mean, if this is Indiana, our whole program is shut down. If this is UK, your program is shut.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
Death penalty for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wayne.
I mean, so that's where I have a problem with.
No, I hear you, man. Good, great comments, man. Great
comments.
Awesome,
Wayne. Thanks for calling, dude.
Fantastic calls tonight with Shooter, Ace Purple, and Wayne. We're going to go to our last break of the night. We'll be right back. Red Blue Hoops. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from German American Bank. German American Bank helps businesses achieve their financial goals by offering consulting and business lending and cash flow optimization for a wide range of industries. Learn more at germanamerican.com.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN 88.3. Phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
I think we've had one tweet tonight, Jim. That's it. Microphone time, brother.
That's it, bro.
All right.
And we had one from Shooter.
We've had a couple from Shooter. Shooter's last one is, this show is becoming more popular by the week. Keep up the good work.
All right.
Thanks, Shooter. That's good support from
– great
he
guy.
He had another one that says, Indiana will be back, exclamation mark. Romeo, oh, Romeo, please prove Evan Beck wrong.
I like it.
That's good stuff. Good. Thanks, Shooter. We'll go back to the phone lines real quick. I think this is another regular caller. Kim, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. How's it going, Mom?
Okay.
Evan's looking hungry. Evan's still looking hungry.
Hey, Kim,
over here,
this is season four, show four. I'm still hungry. I mean,
we're going to do it.
We're
going to do it. But I did watch the Kentucky game after the State of the Union.
Mom and I were watching this.
Together?
No, not together. Oh, we were tweeting, or texting.
What did you notice about the Kentucky game, Kim?
They got lucky.
Well, they got lucky.
Man, I mean, if that other team would have made those free throws, you might not have been on the
–
No question.
We would have lost.
No question.
You're 100% right. We should not have been in that position, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, if we're a mid-major team, why won't Kentucky play us?
Because we were scared to go back to Bloomington because we got absolutely mistreated up there, and Calipari offered – I'm just telling you exactly what happened. Calipari said he would never go back to Bloomington. He offered a game series in Lucas Oil for two games in a row and split the tickets, and Tom Crean turned him down. Archie and Calipari are friends.
It's going to happen.
They're going to get the series back on. It's going to be in Lucas Oil and in the Yum Center in Louisville. So we will be playing regular season basketball again very soon, and you'll have a chance to beat us.
Or you'll have a chance to get beat by us. I like it.
Okay, happy Super Bowl today.
Hey, that's right.
Go Eagles.
Go Eagles. Yeah.
Bye.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Kim. Really appreciate it.
See ya.
All right.
That was
pretty
good.
Question. Zach Martin tweeted in, says, premier programs win in the tournament. IU hasn't been premier since 92-93. I'm hoping Archie can right the ship. This is an Indiana fan, folks. It's a realistic person. That's why I respect Zach. He's realistic. Keep it real.
Yep.
Red Blue Hoops.
Yep.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate that. All right, folks. This is our last segment. It's been a very active night. We appreciate the calls. Appreciate the tweets. Red Blue Hoops, you can give us a call, 812-426-7400, or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops. Let's get some more Twitter calls or Twitter or tweets, I guess.
Chad, who do you have in your upcoming games?
We play – so – Saturday, Michigan State. So we've had our
where?
That's in Bloomington.
Oh, so let me ask you a question. Have any idea how the fan base will treat the Izzo situation?
I think it's going to be a rowdy atmosphere.
Are they going to have some signs or chants? I do.
I think it'll be interesting. My hot take is I'm going to stick with the score too, 72-70 Hoosiers. I think Archie is going to be so mad about losing. Like we've lost three straight games. We're gonna find a way to win one here. Yeah. So
all you do is free throws.
Yeah, and Michigan State, they are beatable. Especially the last couple games since the Izzo scenarios happened, they've come out really flat in all their games. Now they found a way to come back and win.
Penn State was rolling them last night, right?
They were.
Yeah.
And they end up winning by six. So I'm going to call a victory there. And then we come home and play Illinois and Minnesota back-to-back. We actually could – we play Rutgers at Rutgers Monday. And then we play Minnesota and Illinois back-to-back.
You guys are doing a Saturday-Monday again?
It's crazy. It's 7 games in 17 days. Thank you, Big Ten, for we're playing the Big Ten tournament in New York. I'm sure a lot of Big Ten fans are going to come out to New York. But it caused us to move the schedule up
a week
because the Big East tournament's out there.
Yeah.
So
I knew it was going to cause some pain.
So just to freak out the Indiana fans here a little bit.
I thought I already did that about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, you kind of have. But it's February 1st today, and the Big Ten tournament starts February 28th. There's a scenario where Indiana's season could be over this month already.
Uh-oh.
How crazy is that?
But Shooter said you're going to the CBI. Didn't he? On Twitter? Yeah, and he's an Indiana fan.
Yeah, he did. I don't know if we'll pay money to go to that.
I guess both fan bases have a very diversified position on our teams this year, don't we? I mean, Kentucky fans do. I'm aggravated with our fan base.
Here's what I'll say, and I'll throw Kentucky in the mix on this. Kentucky fans and Indiana fans are very basketball schooled on what they think
is
the right way to play and how to do things.
Sure.
So, man, as a coach – you always got to win your fan base a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I'm not saying Archie and Cal, they're doing a good job, but it's tough sometimes when things are going bad. The fans can get a little rough. I guess.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Kind of crazy.
Well, Cal Perry says after coaching at UMass for a long time and then had his little short stint in the NBA, but then Memphis for a decade or so. He says coaching at Kentucky is like coaching in dog years. Like 1 year is equal to seven.
Yeah.
And, man, he has aged like a president. You know, I mean, he's been there, this is his ninth season? Look at his press conference day to now. Good gosh.
How much longer do you think he'll be? Do you think he'll retire at UK, or will he take a pro job or something?
Great question. I think he's very, dismissive. A lot of times when he's asked that question, he kind of dodges that question a little bit. He says he's going to retire sooner than people think. But a lot of his former players now think he will retire at UK. And this is crazy. Somebody said on the radio today, is Calipari slipping? Is Calipari slipping in his coaching ability, which is insane. But he's 13 years younger than Coach K. And, again, Cal's made 6 Elite Eights in 8 years. Now, again, the Duke recruiting thing has evolved a little bit. It's got some Kentucky fans freaked out. But, again, this year, folks, our team is the youngest team. They're going to have some carryover players from this year's squad with a really good recruiting class coming in. So next year could be dynamic.
He's a victim of his own success. I mean, he's been sensational at Kentucky. I'm not going to deny that. So
hey, Wayne just tweeted in. He does not listen well enough, Chad. He goes, by the way, IU has had 2 Sweet 16 teams, 2 Big Ten championships in the past 5 years, not mid-major resume. That's not what I was talking about. I said 20 years, you've only made it past the Sweet 16 one time. For big-time programs like Kentucky, we don't measure success with Sweet 16s. We just don't. We don't even start thinking about it until the Sweet 16. Like the year you guys beat us, 2016, you guys beat us in round of 32?
To go to Sweet 16, yeah.
That's just a complete lost season from my perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so I'm sorry, Wayne, still mid-major, but good try.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Great one, Jim. And IU hangs banners for winning regular season games.
When did we do that?
Tom Crean did.
That was his Big Ten championship night.
You had popcorn boxes and that special trophy case, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, so do we cover your upcoming games? You have 3 before next week's show or 2?
No, we have 2. It's just
so Saturday, Monday.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
cool.
We really need to go 2-0, but that could be a pipe dream. We'll see.
Well, Kentucky still, I think, showing the ability to win or lose any game they play. That's just who they are right now. I mean, the home game against Vanderbilt was a bad performance. The road game against West Virginia I thought was a pretty good performance.
So if you're a Vegas bettor, you might want to stay away from Kentucky because you don't know what you're getting there.
It's like who said about flipping a coin? Was that Kim or was that Wayne?
I think it was
Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. We go to Missouri this Saturday, and if you look at just the record, you think it's an easy win for Kentucky, but – You got to hold the press on that. Missouri has already beaten six top 100 KenPom teams, and they lost to Florida and Arkansas by two. And last night they won at Alabama, who just got done beating Oklahoma. So, I mean, Missouri's playing some extremely tough basketball without their best player, Michael Porter Jr. So I haven't seen the spread yet for this Saturday, but I think the way Kentucky's playing, it could be an absolute battle.
Is that Konzo Martin?
Yeah.
Coaches those guys?
Yeah. You know, he was at Tennessee and did decent.
Right.
But they ran him out. Then he went to California.
Right.
Had a couple of huge recruits. Had Jaylen Brown, who's a Celtic right now. And then he had Ivan Rabb.
Ivan Rabb, I remember that.
So then he drifts over to Missouri, and he brings in some – he can recruit, obviously. But at Missouri, I think that's
stacks
a – that's a coin flip. That's tax of cash. I guess, yeah, Indiana's the only team that doesn't pay anybody, according to Indiana fans. Anyway.
That's right.
Then we host Tennessee next Tuesday night in Rupp Arena. That's a revenge game. We lost at Tennessee earlier this year when we had P.J. Washington go out with an injury, and then Gabriel fouled out. We kind of – choked on that game, but looking forward to hosting Tennessee and Rupp Arena next week and hopefully revenge that loss from earlier this year. With our remaining schedule, Chad, I think off the air before the show started, I told you we could easily go 500 the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
The way we're playing now. I mean, we're just so inconsistent from moment to moment. I don't know how to even predict the rest of the season for Kentucky.
Yeah, I thinking about IU currently, they're 12-11, 5-6 in the Big Ten. So that's seven games left in the conference. And my take is if they want to make things interesting at all, they have to beat Michigan State on Saturday. And then really after that, win five of their next six. That would put them at 18-12 and do some work in the Big Ten tournament. That is a tough call. You're not – anything we're seeing right now is not leading me to believe that that can happen. But it would be nice at minimum to find a way to get to 17-13 and win a game in the Big Ten, and at that point you might get in the NIT. So that's what we're looking at. It's been a tough stretch.
The odd perspective as an outsider watching your games is that you guys can compete with a Duke or a Purdue,
mm-hmm.
but then play just awful
mm-hmm.
against some other teams that just aren't that good. But the other – caller Ace Purple talked about it. Just fundamentals alone would win you some more games, obviously.
Free throw shooting. And that really goes back to after Cody and those guys graduate, or Cody didn't graduate but moved on, and in Oladipo, that season that Crean, all the guys he started to recruit outside of Yogi, just terrible fundamental basketball. Turnovers. Remember bad Troy.
Oh, yeah.
Troy Williams. Just a lot of
Did
players
he make a
like
team?
That.
Is he in the league?
He's off and on.
Okay.
He's playing with the G League, I think, for the Rockets or something.
Well, speaking of G League and that Michigan State story, they didn't waste any time on
I saw that.
The app.
Both those guys.
Appling and Adrian Payne. I mean, they waived him that night,
and
didn't
Travis
they?
Walton was a coach for somebody, and he was gone.
Wow.
Yeah, don't mess around with that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Stand-in intern Jim Gotch just handed me a KenPom result showing UK as a 2-point underdog at Missouri. Based on KenPom. So there you go. We got our hands full.
That should be, yeah.
This coming Saturday. A little Red Blue Hoops index update for our new listeners. What that is, it's an index that we created on this show. Have we trademarked it yet, Berger? We need to tomorrow. Call the attorneys. Red Blue Hoops, the RBH index. It's a compilation of KenPom, BPI, RPI, and Sagarin. Indiana currently is bringing in a pretty rough index of 92.25. Again, folks,
did
one
we go up though
a little bit. I think you maybe
because of the schedule, I guess.
Your strength of hey, check this out. This is some good news for Hoosier fans out there. Now, your non-conference strength of schedule is still paltry; it's 260, but your overall strength of schedule is now up to 29th.
Yeah,
that's the highest it's been, I think, since the last 3 years in the show. Kentucky's non-conference strength of schedule is 43. Their strength of schedule overall is 14. Kentucky's currently hanging in there with a 21.75 index. So our offense is 46. Our defense is 29th. We got to get those numbers up.
I will never understand that non-conference schedule. Indiana played Duke. They played Louisville. They played Seton Hall. They played Notre Dame. That makes no sense. How their schedule – who did Kentucky play in the non-conference that gets them to 47?
They didn't play any – or they played very few teams ranked, you know, above 250 like you guys do, the 300s. And then
I think we've only played one of those.
Virginia Tech, Louisville, UCLA, Kansas. I mean, that's this off the top of my head.
So that four, you just listed four that match up to our four. So it's got to be the lower level ones are just big.
Sure.
Different.
I mean, we had a couple of other common. We played Fort Wayne as well. We beat them by 20. You guys lost by 20. Again, our common.
I'm walking into those.
Our common, I think, games this year. Kentucky's plus 77 on Indiana. But we played a good Vermont team.
Yeah.
Obviously,
good team.
That's a good team. Came close to beating us.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It is what it is. Numbers don't lie, I guess. But, okay, Twitter. Man, Twitter traffic has exploded. Well, Hank, we're setting a Twitter record all of a sudden. Wayne's back on. He says, Evan.
Yeah, you picked a fight with Wayne.
He goes, I listen well. Just so you know, IU doesn't measure success with Sweet 16 appearances. That is why Tom Crean is gone and Archie Miller is now the coach. Not acceptable. Good. Okay,
that's fair.
Wayne, that's reasonable.
That is.
That's fine.
That's a great answer. I agree with that 100%.
I compliment you on that tweet. You want to go to U of E real quick?
Yes. So.
Microphone.
Yeah, that's true. U of E is 15-9. They play Saturday at Illinois State, which would be a nice game to get revenge on.
At Illinois State?
At Illinois State, because Illinois State beat them at the Ford Center early. A couple things with the team. Drew Smith, who's been playing really well, he's out 2 to 3 weeks with an injury. But Marty has done a nice job this year with moving people in and out. So their depth, they're finding ways to win. Shout out to Blake Simmons. He went over the 1,000-point club, I think it was last week. And just a quick little nugget on the Aces themselves. With them picking up their 15th win last night, that's 80 wins for Marty Simmons the past 4 years. That's not bad. So shout out to the team. And I think there's winnable games on the schedule. I think they can get to 18 or 19 wins and maybe get all these guys back, make a run in that Arch Madness.
Fantastic. Go Aces.
Go Aces.
USI Screaming Eagles are 17-5, currently sitting in at 8-2 in the conference, which is second place. I did some digging. Maybe this is in the article I read. Maybe it's as far as I dug. But coaches picked USI fourth out of the five East Division teams. So I think they're exceeding expectations based on how the coaches voted.
Yep.
So kudos to the Screaming Eagles and Coach Watson out there. Once again, it's ironic they play every Thursday night. It seems like they're hosting Maryville University tonight, 7:30 at the Pack. So you folks still have time to get out there to support the Screaming Eagles. They come back home this Saturday, February the 3rd, hosting Quincy, 3:15 Saturday. Good time to get out of the house during the winter weather and go support the Screaming Eagles.
Hey, live remote.
That's right, folks. Chad's always good about reminding me, folks. Mark your calendars. We're hosting our first live remote in Red Blue Hoops history. February the 22nd at Bar Louie, which is on the east side of Evansville.
Yep.
We encourage fans to show up, participate. We'll have a live microphone for interaction with Chad, myself, and whoever else wants
Wayne.
To interact.
Maybe, you and Wayne.
Maybe Wayne and I can have a little little standoff out there at Bar Louie, but it's going to be great. Folks, come back next week. This has been Red Blue Hoops on your WNIN. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Thank you, Jim Gotze, for standing in.
Thank you. Boom.
Production support for Red Blue Hoops is provided by Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. The technical director is Maria Thomas. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN staff or board of directors, or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.